show about Fillmore Treat. This is FilmPod.com. The Week in Georgia, in English, coming to you from San Francisco's charming and creative GUI Center of the Lower Haight. Today is Thursday, the 31st of August, 2017. On this date, in 1056, after a sudden illness of a few days, Byzantine Empress Theodora dies childless, thus ending the Macedonian dynasty. 1142, the Iroquois League is established by Hiawatha and Degawea. 1798, the Irish rebels, with French assistance, established the short-lived Republic of Connacht. 1897, Thomas Edison patents the kinetoscope, the first movie projector. 1920, the first radio news program is broadcast by 8MK in Detroit. 1943, the USS Harmon, the first U.S. Navy ship to be named after a person of predominantly African descent, is commissioned. The mess attendant Leonard Ray Harmon from Cuero, Texas, was a mess attendant in the U.S. Navy because that's the only way that African Americans at the time could join the Navy. He was posthumously awarded a Navy Cross for extraordinary heroism and devotion to duty in action during the horrific Battle of Guadalcanal. 1997, Princess Diana dies in a car crash in a road tunnel in Paris. And 1 year ago today, 2016, Brazil's president Dilma Rousseff is impeached and removed from office. Birthdays are Roman Emperor Caligula, 12 AD, and education theorist genius Maria Montessori in 1870. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. Podcast is written by Robin Bortner. If you'd like to comment on the forum or ask a question, go to tapilpod.com or send us an email at tapilpod@gmail.com. Two altercations this week have created discussion around Georgia's tolerance or lack thereof for diversity. First, two leaders of an LGBT group alleged they were abused by police in Batumi on the 25th of August. According to their lawyer, the incident began when the two were assaulted by strangers outside a nightclub. When the police arrived, the lawyer claims the officers ignored the assaults and arrested only the activists. During their detention, the officers allegedly called them pederasts, a derogatory term for gay people, physically assaulted them, and said that the people were not worthy of police protection. The Ministry of the Interior denies the abuse and says that the activists were acting aggressively towards the police, but said that the ministry's general inspectorate will investigate the incident for abuse of authority. After their arrest, the activists were charged with police disobedience and disorderly conduct. Batumi City Court fined them 300 lari. Supporters in Tbilisi and Batumi held demonstrations in solidarity with the activists and against the habitual police oppression of the LGBT community. And 18 civil society organizations accused the government of not having an effective strategy to combat hate crimes. Georgia's Public Defender's Office wrote in a statement that queer people have long complained of offensive attitudes from the police and urged the prosecutor's office to take action, which it has done by opening an investigation. The second altercation occurred in Tbilisi when a Nigerian man, Hassan Olatunde Abiola, was confronted in the street by several Georgian men he identified as skinheads and neo-Nazis. Abiola, who's working and studying here in Tbilisi, alleges that the men chased him down the street, insulted him, and eventually hit him in the face. Customers at a nearby bar assisted Abiola and called the police. The Georgians were charged with verbal insult, but only after the police officers failed to persuade Abiola to drop the charges. Abiola argues that the confrontation should have been treated as a hate crime. In response, one of his attackers posted a video on social media denying membership in a racist movement. He claimed he and his friends were drunk and the slurs were an unfortunate mistranslation of a question. He denied swearing or hitting Abiola and added that Abiola also pushed his friend. Finally, he said that having a disagreement with a black man didn't make him a racist. OC Media, who cover the story, reports that the hate crimes periodically occur in Georgia and racist comments appear frequently in online comments and in public speech, including an infamous statement about black people made by former ambassador to the United States. However, hard data about hate speech and hate crimes are unavailable, partially because it's habitually unreported. Despite an anti-discrimination law passed in 2014, the Public Defender's Office reported that most cases of discrimination are not considered when investigating crimes or reporting on events. Interparty talks on constitutional reform collapsed before they started on the 25th of August. The stated goal was to reach an agreement on the new constitution before the upcoming final meeting with the Venice Commission. Otsneva blamed the opposition for making several unmeetable ultimatums as precondition for the discussion. In return, the opposition accused Otsneva of using the ultimatums as an excuse for ending the dialogue they never wanted to have in the first place. In reality, the discussion was unlikely to succeed from the start. The opposition has long held that the reforms are designed to keep the ruling party in power and has no reason to support them. The opposition is right. After 5 days, the Borjomi wildfire was contained on the 25th of August. In total, 100 hectares of woodland were burnt. Also, during the final firefighting efforts on the 27th of August, a Georgian helicopter crashed into a reservoir, injuring the three crew members. The helicopter was removed from the water. Efforts have been made to prevent environmental contamination. After it was over, Prime Minister Georgi Kvitakashvili thanked all the firefighters from Georgia, as well as from Armenia, Azerbaijan, Belarus, and Turkey for their help. Several smaller fires have broken out across the country, but all but one have been contained thanks to a large amount of mobilized firefighters. The fire still out of control, as of this podcast, is in Abastumani, also in the Borjomi Kharagouli National Park. It's been burning since the 29th of August. And to fight it, Georgia once again requested aid from neighboring countries. Turkey, Ukraine, and Azerbaijan sent aerial forces to help the 1,000 firefighters on the ground, and Iran also stands ready to send helicopters if needed. As part of the containment effort, firefighters paved 5 kilometers of road in the forest. The Interior Ministry is still investigating the conditions which have caused recent waves of fires. A few officials, including the Interior Ministry, have openly speculated that Russia started the fires as sabotage or as a diversion, but there is no significant evidence to support this claim. More likely, the fires could be attributed to the weather. Ministry of Education closed down the school run by detained Turk Mustafa Emre Çabuk, who's waiting extradition for alleged connection to Fethullah Gulen. However, ministry spokesman Gia Murghulia denied that the Gulen connection was the reason for the closure, saying instead that the school's 5-year license had expired and there had been several potentially criminal wrongdoings, pointing to paperwork indicating students passed 6 exams in 1 day as evidenced in forged academic results. This is a ridiculous and not particularly strong cover-up for political motives, though, especially since after Çabuk's arrest in May, Education Minister Alexandre Cecelava said that the government was working to shield the school's students from his ideology. Moreover, earlier this year, another Batumi school lost its license after the regional Turkish consul said the school raised terrorists. On a personal note, my children used to attend that school years ago, and the government is completely BSing. Closing the school has been demanded by the government of Turkey, and Georgian authorities are complying and maddeningly are pretending that they're not and coming up with ridiculous, stupid, bureaucratic reasons. Simple as that. It's a very good school. Sad to see this being done to it. The solidarity rally for the railway workers on hunger strike since the 16th of August, attended by about 170 people, broke out into violence with the police, causing at least 2 injuries. The issue at hand was the erection of tents on the street outside Georgian Railway headquarters, as police have maintained that the tents illegally obstruct traffic. 10 individuals were arrested following the crash. The Tbilisi City Court will decide on the 8th of September whether or not to fine them. The leader of the left-wing student activist group Auditorium 115 said the police used excessive force and plans to file charges. As of this podcast, the strike continues into its 3rd week. One of the 20 strikers has been hospitalized from not eating and was predictably discouraged from continuing by doctors. Prime Minister Georgi Kvitakashvili traveled to Ashgabat on the 30th of August to meet with Turkmenistan's president to discuss trade and transport, especially in issues related to the Silk Road project, as Turkmenistan is an essential transit state. However, as of this podcast, no specific policies have been announced, but the focus was on the development of the Anaklia Deepwater Port. Also in government travel, Foreign Minister Mikhail Janalidze was in Berlin this week as part of the continuing celebration of Germany and Georgia's 25 years of diplomatic relations. Goal of the trip was to explore areas for greater cooperation, EU integration. Education was also on the agenda, and Janalidze admired Germany's dual system and is considering integrating aspects of it. Tbilisi City Council member Zura Neparidze was detained by the State Security Service on bribery charges filed by a bureau employee. His co-worker and sister-in-law, Anna Menteshashvili was also charged to complete the nepotistic ring. His son was arrested but released in exchange for testifying against the father. The trial is still ongoing. Neparidze was similarly detained in 2012 under the National Movement, released after Otsneba's after their 2012 victory. He floated around in Shevardnadze's interior ministry in various positions all during the 90s. I don't believe in labeling or prejudging or judging by appearances, but as a thought experiment, imagine a bribe-soliciting Georgian official. Now Google a picture of this guy. I thought so. A Georgian family from Pankizi, a couple and their four children, were reported dead in Syria after an aerial bombing. The family reportedly moved to Syria 2 years ago, according to relatives. Initially, the father traveled to Syria to fight the Assad regime with a group of Chechens, then later joined ISIS. So far, at least 26 Georgians from Pankizi have died in Syria since 2012. And the State Security Service reports that about 50 Georgians are currently fighting with extremist groups in Syria and Iraq. Influential media watchdog NGO Reporters Without Borders weighed in on a case of kidnapped journalist Afghan Mukhtarli, calling for his immediate release. They called his charges trumped up and denounced Azerbaijan for denying the Mukhtarli family visits or medical care. The whole affair, they said, was a disgrace to both Azerbaijan and Georgia. This week, an Azeri court extended his sentence another 2 months. The OSCE representative on freedom of the media to Georgia released a skeptical report on the initiative launched this March by Georgi Kvitikashvili to establish a press ombudsman. No specific powers were outlined for his position, and in March, the prime minister spoke only of protecting free speech and journalistic standards. At the time, the initiative was an effort to counter criticism, as the Supreme Court had just awarded an Otsneba supporter the ownership of opposition channel Rustavi Ori. In many countries, the press ombudsman reviews complaints against the media and can sometimes impose penalties. This can help prevent slander and disinformation, but can also censor the opposition. The OSCE report suggested that instead, Georgia should adopt a non-punitive council to assist rather than censor the media. Currently, Georgia is ranked 64th in the World Press Freedom Index compiled by Reporters Without Borders, scored well on journalist safety, the Mukhtarli case notwithstanding, but is penalized for its polarized environment and the degree of influence media owners have on content. Four judges have been shortlisted by the commission as candidates to replace the current Georgian judge on the European Court of Human Rights. We've been following this drama for months. The tenure of the current judge expired this January, but was extended as all but one of the shortlisted candidates in the previous two rounds were dismissed by the court as unqualified. Civil society organizations blamed his dismissal as the result of corrupt selection process, claiming that the nomination is fixed. They boycotted the entire process until more objective procedures are used. Ministry of Foreign Affairs joined the international community in condemning North Korea's launch of a ballistic missile over Japan on the 29th of August in the name of the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, of which Georgia is a signatory. New artifact found in central Georgia near Kaspi revealed a pagan temple with two altars dedicated to a fertility goddess. It's dated to the 7th century BC. The temple also features writing in an unknown language, the oldest writing to be discovered in the region. The Minister of Culture said that he hopes to build tourist infrastructure at the location. Album about Georgia made by the 17th century missionary Don Christopher de Castel has been purchased from the National Library of Ireland by the Arts Palace and is open for public viewing. It contains many unpublished paintings depicting Georgian life and portraits of prominent Georgian leaders. This is especially significant as much of the art from this period was destroyed by the Persians. Renovations of the Akhmateli Theater metro station begun last year have been completed. Work was done on the upper and lower halls, entrance and operation booths by the company Damba. The operational systems were also modernized. A new fire system was installed. Two other stations, Varkatili and Avlabadi, are still ongoing, but are due to be completed by the November elections, predictably. Government signed a 36 million lari agreement with the United Water Supply Company of Georgia to improve the water in Chiatuta, the mining town in Imereti. The project will construct or rehabilitate the distribution network chlorination building, pumping stations, and reservoirs. The funding is provided by the Asian Development Bank. This improvement is badly needed as the local manganese mining operation has caused significant environmental damage, particularly to the local water supply. Currently, residents only receive running water at intervals rather than continuously due to the time it takes to purify the water using current infrastructure. The Interior Ministry is involved in an ongoing multi-gazillion dollar dispute with the mining company over damages to Chiatuta's water and soil. In an effort to improve road safety, buses, marshutkas, and trucks will be required to have speed-limiting devices. These devices cap speed by controlling the fuel supply. The limit is 100 kilometers per hour for buses and 90 kilometers per hour for truck. The regulation will come into force at the end of this year for international traffic and by 2020 for domestic traffic. Very cowardly not to put the limits on the domestic traffic earlier, because that's the problem, not the international traffic. But you heard it here first. Somebody wants to wait until after the parliamentary elections. Georgian wrestlers won 5 medals at the 2017 World Championships held this week in Paris. Zurab Yakubashvili and Geno Petriashvili both took gold in freestyle in the 65 and 125 kilo categories, respectively. 3 other wrestlers won bronze in freestyle and Greco-Roman events. Overall, Georgia placed 4th out of 26 behind Japan, the United States, and Turkey. Following the event, Petriashvili was named by United World Wrestling as the best freestyle athlete of the year, style which is accompanied by a $10,000 prize. Basketball player Zaza Pachulia of San Francisco was awarded an Order of Honor by President Gheorghe Margvelashvili this Wednesday for helping the Golden State Warriors win the NBA championship. He plays as one of the 2 centers for the team. Pachulia was also recognized for offering free children's camps around the country since 2004 and establishing a basketball academy in Tbilisi in 2016. He will next captain the Georgian team at the Eurobasket tournament this fall. Tbilisi is hosting the 2017 FIDE World Chess Cup, and the 128 knockout matches will be held through September. Current world champion Magnus Carlsen of Norway is competing. Total of $1 million is available in prize money. In addition to the cash, the winner and runner-up will have an automatic berth in the 2018 FIDE Candidates Tournament. In parliamentary news, Sopiko Katsaraba, chair of the Foreign Relations Committee, met with British Ambassador Justin Mackenzie Smith on the 25th of August. Smith nominated Katsaraba to attend the annual Leaders International Program in London. The networking program is run by the British government, targets future leaders from emerging powers. The meme this week is a video featuring the Georgian National Ballet, Sukashvili Dance Company, put together by the media outlet Great Big Story, which sounds a little bit ridiculous until you realize that the video, which is not even like the greatest Georgian dancing video that I've ever seen, but it just sort of explains a little bit. There's a guy that's being interviewed. It has been viewed 2 million times. It explains the basics of the dance, training, and shows a bunch of moves. Open Democracy published a feature about the upcoming mayoral election. While it saw its neighbors Kahikaladze and independent Aliko Elisashvili as frontrunners, the point of the article was to disparage the lack of political enthusiasm Georgians have about the race. This view is supported by the CRC polls, which found nearly 70% of respondents to be unaffiliated. Georgians, the article muses, see the mayorship as an administrative rather than a political position. In the article's opinion, this apathy is a bad thing as it stymies progress and allows for backdoor corruption. The investigative reporting outlet CODA, working out of Tbilisi's Fabrika, is devoted to 3 regional crises: disinformation, LGBT rights, and migration. Several articles and video features Georgia this week. They wrote a long feature about Russian nationalists fighting on both sides of the Ukraine conflict. In a nutshell, for those fighting against Russia, Putin is the wrong kind of right wing. They oppose Putin for being an imperialist instead of a nationalist and dislike his openness to economic migration from Central Asia. It's quite interesting for those particularly interested in the fighting in Ukraine. CODA story is one of the most interesting, internationally, it happens to be based in Tbilisi, but internationally, one of the most interesting things happening in journalism. Eurasianet published an explanatory article on Georgia's fluctuation between an upper and lower middle income country as classified by the World Bank. Largely, the change has to do with the way the statistics like exchange rate are controlled. Despite these imprecise calculations, the resulting categorization has a large impact on donations and investment. Article weighs the pros and cons of each category. All this stuff to read is posted in the forum. This week's dive bar number is 328. That is the total number of electric cars imported to Georgia this year, up from 34 the year before and 5 in 2015. In addition to these 328 electric cars, 9,870 hybrids were also imported. To facilitate the increase, the government is working with contractor S-Space and Vsoil Petroleum to install charge ports. Tbilisi currently has 4. 2 are in Vake, 1 on Agmashenabeli, and 1 is at the airport. Across the country, S-Space has now installed 25 charging stations and is working to increase that number. Tbilisi is hosting the International Sportsway Tourism Conference on the 28th and 29th of September. The event is designed to show how businesses can use sports tourism to make money. The attendance will be speakers from international event companies and the heads of Olympic and European Championship committees. Georgia's playing Ireland in Dinamo Arena on the 2nd of September in the 2018 World Cup qualifier match. After the 6 matches so far, Georgia's ranked 5th in its group of 6, and Ireland is 2nd. The 2017 Tbilisi Photo Festival will take place between the 13th and 20th of September and will focus on the relationship between fashion, identity, and tradition. Batumi is celebrating its annual Batumoba Festival this weekend with events on September 2nd and 3rd. There will be parades, music, art, speeches, and dances. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. That's Tango X-Ray Tango Bravo Uniform Kilo. Our email is tbilpod@gmail.com or post to the forum on our website, www.tbilpod.com, including with questions if you have any. We'll finish with, from Birmingham, England, this is The English Beat, 1980, and Twist and Crawl. I can have a new face, I can have a new body.